Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psochem Daf Nun Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's daf at the Mishnah that you'll find in the upper part of the page, around 17 lines from the top. V'chachomim oimrim, B'Yehuda hoyu oisim melocha b'arvei psochim ad chatzos. The Chachomim tell us that in the Yehuda region of Eretz Yisrael, they practiced doing melacha on Erev Pesach until noontime. Uva Golil lo hoyu oisim kol ikar. And in the Golil region, which is the northern part of Israel, they didn't do melacha whatsoever. Halayla, the night of the 14th, in other words, the nighttime leading into the 14th of Nisan. In halacha, generally speaking, we regard the night as the beginning of that particular date. So the 14th of Nisan begins at night, and then it's followed by the daytime. So that night of the 14th, Beis Shammai Oisrin, Ubeis Hillel Matirin, Ad Hanetzach Hama. Beis Shammai forbids doing malacha then, and Beis Hillel is Matir until sunrise. The Gemara asks, concerning this Mishnah, there seems to be an imbalance. Me'ikora tana minhoga. At the beginning of the Mishnah, custom was featured. As you can see, there was a practice of one nature in Yehuda and a different practice in Golil. That would show that the beginning of the Mishnah is dealing with an issue of custom, and not something of, we'll call, strict letter of the law, but rather what was the practice, as we've been exposed in the last number of Mishnayos. Ulebasov Tona Isura, in the second part of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah was speaking about the nighttime, it said Beis Shammai Osrin, which would imply that they forbid across the boards, all over, without any regard to different regions, indicating that that is a prohibition across the boards by letter of the law. So what are we to make of this Mishnah? Is the issue of doing melacha custom-based or letter of the law-based? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, lo kashia. Rabbi Yochanan says the Mishnah doesn't present a difficulty or a contradiction. Ha, Rabbi Meir. Ha, Rabbi Yehuda. There are two different schools of Tanaic thought that are reflected in the Mishnah. One of Rabbi Meir and one of Rabbi Yehuda, Desanya. And now we will see the Tanaic source, and we should also note that this is a long answer. You can see how we've marked it. Omar Rabbi Yehuda. The Yehuda, in the Yehuda region, hoyu oisin malocha ba'arvei psochim ad chatzois. They would do malacha until noontime on the 14th of Nisan. Uba Golil einon oisin kol ikar. In the northern part of Israel, the Golil region, no malacha was done whatsoever. Omar lo Rabbi Meir, ma rayo Yehuda v'Golil lekan. What proof is there in what you're saying regarding Yehuda and Golil to hear? A Rashi says, Ma Raya Yehuda v'Golil kan af kol mokoim shenohagu heter heter nohagu iser iser. Wherever the practice is one of leniency, so be it, and wherever the practice is one of prohibition, so be it. Elo, rather, mokum shinohagu lasos malocha oisin, mokum shinohagu shlo lasos einosin. So Rabbi Meir is saying that since we're dealing with something that's custom-based, so there's no need to cite a particular region. Wherever the custom is to do, you do. Wherever it's not, it's not. So the Gemara points out, Midika Omar Rebbe Meir Min Hoga, from the fact that Rebbe Meir is saying that this is a custom-based halacha, or a custom-based issue. Michlal de Rebbe Yehuda Isura Ka'omar. Therefore, Rebbe Yehuda must be referring to something of a more letter of the law based issue, Isser meaning prohibition. Let us take a look at the Rashi. Michlal de Rebbe Yehuda Isura Ka'omar de Bnei Yehuda Matirin u Bnei Galil Oisrin. In other words, there's a machlokes between these different regions, as opposed to a matter of mere custom. The minhoga komar, if it were a function of custom, then my plukte de Rebbe Meir. What would the argument be between Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe Meir be in the Tanaic source? Ha Rebbe Yehuda nami hochi have omar. Rebbe Yehuda then would come out saying the same thing. In order for a distinction, a point of controversy to be reflected in this Tanaic source, and when you have two different Tanoim in one source, unless otherwise stated, there has to be a controversy. So Rebbe Yehuda is approaching the matter as a letter of the law issue, where you have two regions that actually have a machlokes, they argue with one another, and according to Rebbe Meir, it's a function of a custom. And we now continue in the Gemara with another question. This question will last a number of lines. Take note of that. V'sava Rebbe Yehuda arbosor muter basias malocha. Does Rebbe Yehuda present the possibility of the 14th being allowed in malocha? If you notice, we have a little arrow to the right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the arrow before, where Rebbe Yehuda said that according to the Yehuda region, Malacha is allowed on the 14th till noon. But could that be Shitas Rebbe Yehuda? For HaTanya, we continue in the Gemara. The Gemara cites a Tanaic source. A word of background is necessary. We're dealing here with the general topic known as the Hakrovas HaOimer and Chodosh. In order for grains that were planted during the winter season to be allowed, sacrifice, a meal offering known as the Minchas HaOmer, was brought in the Beis HaMikdash on the 16th of Nisan. It happened to be the second day of Pesach. And the bringing of that meal offering enabled all the grains that had taken root before the 16th of Nisan to be allowed. And up till that, they're called chodesh, they're called new grains. So, with that background in mind, let's see the source. V'hotanya, Rebbe Yehuda Omer, Hamenachesh B'shloisha Sar V'nekro B'yodo, a person who is doing menachesh, it's a process of weeding out in one's field, removing growth that you don't want, separating it from stuff that you want to remain in the ground. And as he was weeding, so something got uprooted. Nekro b'yodo shoysla b'mokim hatit ve'ein shoysla b'mokim hagrid. The advice that the source gives is that if you want to replant that which got uprooted, so plant it in a place of a clay type soil where things will grow quickly and not in greed, not in dry soil. With your replanting it, so the hope is it will take root before the 16th, and the Omer offering will matir this growth. And we now infer b'shloishosor in b'arbosor lo, on the 13th of Nisan, so that's the last date, the last chance you have to do it, but not on the 14th. Michti, and now the Gemara proves its point from this inference, the point that the 14th must be prohibited in Malacha. Because as far as the laws of Chodesh are concerned, he could have conceivably replanted it on the 14th, and it still would have been mutter on the 16th. We said that as anything that takes root before the 16th will be mutter through the Omer. How much time does it take for something, for grain, to take root? 3 days. We'll see shortly, it in fact doesn't even mean 3 times 24 hours, but 3 days, where we say even miktsas hayom, part of the day, counts as a day. So the source just told us that the replanting can take place latest time 13th of Nisan. And that way, the Omer offering on the 16th will matir, will allow it. But not on the 14th. Why not? Michti, let's look into this. Sham inon lei l'Rabbi Yehuda d'Omar. Rabbi Yehuda himself has said, kol harkovo she'eno koletes l'shloisha yomim shuv eino koletes. Any grafting that doesn't take place, doesn't take hold, koletes is to take hold, to bond within 3 days, so it won't bond anymore. In other words, it won't be a successful grafting. So here we're talking about a similar idea, something that is replanted and it taking root. If it were so that the 14th of Nisan were a day that Malacha would be allowed, so Lomali Shloshasar, why does the source say or feature the 13th? Fuiko, if you were replanting it on the 14th, you would have our Besar, that's the 14th, the Chamesar, the 15th, Umitzas Shitzar, part of the 16th, I mean part of the day until the Omer is offered. So you would have your 3 days. Omar Rava, Begoliel Shanu, the source that said the 13th was in the Goliel region. Now, you'll notice by way of the markings, we have diamonds and a double underline. The diamonds feature Rava and Ravina, and they are both coming to answer this question. The question being, can the Tana Rebbe Yehuda say that the 14th of Nisan is allowed in Malacha, as he said in the source where we have the first arrow? And at the same time, we have Rabbi Yehuda featuring the case of the replanting of the grains, where the replanting takes place on the 13th, and which infers 13th, yes, but no replanting on the 14th. So Rava answers, he's the first answer, he says, Begoliel Shanu, the source that said only 13th and not 14th is talking about the Goliel region. And Rabbi Yehuda himself said that in the Goliel region, you can see we have a little star to the right-hand side of the Gemara text, you align it with the star above. There, Rabbi Yehuda said, in the Goliel region, they didn't do Malacha on the 14th. Question, Vo'iko Lelio, is there not the night time? In other words, okay, so they didn't do Malacha on the 14th in the daytime, but they could have done Malacha the 14th at night. So why does the source feature, if you're saying that the source that says 13th is the Goliel, why not speak about the 14th of the nighttime? Omar Rav Sheshes Kebe Shammai. Well, because the source that talks about the 13th is in accordance with Beis Shammai, whom we have seen to say that the nighttime is forbidden. Rav Ashi Omar li'olam kebeis Hillel. The source that spoke about the 13th and not the 14th is not a reflection on the 14th being prohibited in Malacha. Rather, it's in accordance with Beis Hillel. So if that's the case, why not speak about the nighttime of the 14th for the replanting? L'fisha'im darkon shel b'nei odom l'nachish b'layla. It's simply unusual. It's not the way of people to weed and encounter this whole problem of the thing being uprooted and needing to be replanted by virtue of Mlocha done at night. People don't work in their fields at night. So it spoke about the common case. He was doing it on the 13th. Ravina Omar li'oilom bihuda ubehashrosha. Ravina says we are in the Yehuda region, not like Rava set things up in the Golo region, but we're in the Yehuda region. And we're talking about the issue of it taking root. Chad miktsas hayom kikulo amrinon. Trey miktsas hayom kikulo lo amrinon. Once, for one of the 3 days, we'll say part of the day counts as a whole day, but not two partial days. So in order to get to your 3 days, if you were to have set it up the 14th at night, so that would have only been part of the 24 hours that constitutes the 14th. So you would have only part of the 14th, and then the 15th, and then the 16th would have also had only part of the 16th until they offered the Omer in the morning of the 16th. So that is too little time. Therefore, the source had to speak about the replanting and taking root on the 13th. That way you have a full 14th, a full 15th, and part of the 16th. The Mishnah. Before we begin the Mishnah, we glance at the side under our topic heading, the Nosei, Ma Mutter B'Yudalid. What is mutter on the 14th when we speak about being allowed to do malacha? Lahaschil oy rak ligmor, to start something or only to finish off something that had been started beforehand. The Mishnah, Rabbi Meir Omer, kol malacha shehischil bo kodim larbosor, gomro barbosor. Any malacha that had been started before the 14th, so you can finish it off on the 14th of Nisan. Avol lo yaschil ba b'tchila bar basar, afal pi shiyachol legomro. However, do not start a malacha, even though it may seem to be a type of activity that takes little time, that you would be able to finish it also on the 14th, well, don't even begin it. V'chachomim oimrim, Gimel Umonios Oisin Malocha Ba'arvei Psachim Ad Chatzos. There are three artisans or professions that can be engaged in Malocha on Erev Pesach until midday. V'Elu Hain, and they are Hachayotin, tailors, V'Hasaporim, people that are barbers, and V'Hakoifsin, washmen. Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda Omer Af Ratzonin. So even Ratzonin are sometimes translated to people working with leather. In this case, they are shoemakers. The reason for those particular malachas of having a leniency, the Gemara will point out, because there is precedent in each one of those cases for leniency on the 14th, as will be explained later. Precedent, we should say, for leniency with regard to those malachas, even during Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed is actually the intermediate days of a holiday between the first day and the last day, or the first days and the last days, which are Chol HaMoed, partially weekday-like in nature and partially holy. But as far as our perspective on things is concerned, Chol HaMoed is a more severe, a more stringent time period than the 14th of Nisan. So since we find in these three cases, as the Gemara will point out, an area of leniency vis-a-vis Chol HaMoed, so we can be lenient with regard to the 14th of Nisan. Now we turn our attention to Rebbe Meir, Ibayalaho. The question is raised, and here we have a very unusual structure. We call this the O-Dilmo structure. Generally speaking, you'll have Aleph O-Dilmo Beis, or it's A or B. In this case, we have three possibilities, and you can see how we've marked them Aleph, and then a squiggle underlined O-Dilmo, and a Beis, and then a next line after that, another squiggle underlined O-Dilmo, Gimel. So, Ibaya Laho, according to Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Meir made a distinction between a malacha that had been started before the 14th versus a malacha that you would be starting on the 14th. So according to Rebbe Meir, Lutzorach HaMoed Tnan, the Mishnah that speaks about finishing, on the 14th is, are we talking about something that you need for the holiday? Avol shelo lutzar chamoid, afilu migmar nami lo. But if it's something that's not needed for the holiday, then you wouldn't be allowed even to merely finish it off on the 14th, oidilmo, or shelo lutzarach amoitnan, the halacha of being allowed to finish off and not starting is because you're dealing with something that's not necessary for the holiday. But if it's for the holiday, aschuli maschilinon, we would allow you to begin as well. Oidilmo, or possibly bein lutzarach amoid, bein shaloi lutzarach, whether it's needed or not, migmar in aschuli lo, we will only allow you to finish it off, even if it's something that's lutzarach hamoed, will allow you only to finish it off, but not to start it. Toshma. We attempt to answer this by bringing in some sources, and on the side of the Gemara we have under our Mivneh heading, Aleph, Beis, and Gimel are three Efsharios Lahavonas Rabbi Meir Mishnah, as we already learned, and the triangles are Sholish Nisyonis Lifshoi Chelas Ha'ibay Laho, three attempts to answer the question. So we continue in the Gemara, Ta Shma. Avol Lo Yaschil Betchila Bar Bosar Afilu Tziltzul Koton Afilu Svocha Kitana. One is not allowed to start on the 14th, even in making a small band, a tzitzil comes a small band, it's an article of clothing that might be worn. And in fact, if you recall the end of Maseches Erevin, so there was a quite an involved sugya where tzitzil cotton was featured in the context of a kohen and yitur begodim and having extra clothing on him at the time he serves in the Beis Hamikdash. That aside, though, tzitzil kod is a very small article of clothing, and a svocha katana is a type of netting that people wear on their, that most likely women would wear on their head. But it's, again, an example of a very small article of clothing. So the source says that one is not allowed to start making these things on the 14th, even if it's these small, insignificant type articles of clothing. My afilu, what is implied by the expression afilu, which is even? Lav afilu hani, does it not mean even these things? The litzorach hamoyed, that would be needed for the holiday, migmar inas chulilo. All we will allow is the finishing off, but not to begin making them. Michlal, and then from that we would infer the shaloi litzorach, that if it's not holiday related, migmar nami lo gamrinon, you wouldn't be allowed even to just finish it off. That would be like possibility aleph in the series of possibilities raised above. The Gemara says, loy, that's not the way to learn the source and infer from it. Le'oilom de'shaloi lutzorech, if it's a non-holiday needed activity, migmar nami gamrinon, we would allow you to finish it off, something that had been started before. Like possibility gimel, the third possibility, umai afilu. So what's the afilu term? What does that imply in this triangled source? Afilu hani nami dezutrinenu, even something as small as these, the salka daitoch amino ascholosan zui gemar melachton, their beginning is like finishing off. Naschil buhu nami lechatchila. So maybe something that's small like this, like the tzitzil cotton of the svocha, you would be allowed to begin it as well. Komash malon, so the source is telling me that no beginning. Beginning is not allowed. However, as far as finishing off something, you're allowed to finish off, even if it's shelo litzorech. So that would be like gimel. So structurally, what we did in this last section, we brought a source and trying to show like possibility aleph in the aleph odilmo beis odilmo gimel setup, and we end off saying no, the source is reflecting what we saw in possibility gimel. Toshma. So we try again to find something conclusive. Rabbi Meir Omer, kol melacha shehi lutzorech hamoed, any activity that's needed for the holiday, Gomra Bar Basar. We're at the top of Amud Beis, and it says, the source says you can finish it on the 14th. Amosai Bisman Shehischa Bokhidim Ar Basar. That's provided you started before the 14th. Avalo Hischa Bokhidim Ar Basar. If you didn't start before the 14th, Lo Yaschil Bo Bar Basar. Don't start on the 14th. Afilu Tziltzul Koton, Afilu Svocha Ketana. Even if it's one of these small articles of clothing. And now we focus on what it said in the source. Lutzorech Hamoid In. This is like possibility Aleph. It said you're allowed to do something that's Lutzorech Hamoid, and it said there, finish off. You're allowed only to finish off if it's Lutzorech Hamoid. Shelo Lutzorech Hamoid, lo. If it's not for the holiday, you would not be allowed to even finish it off. That is like possibility Aleph. The Gemara rejects this. Hu Hadin De'afilu Shelo Lutzorech Nami Gamrinon. Like possibility Gimel. The source is not precluding finishing off something that's shelo letzorech. So then, what's the point of the source? If why did the source speak about letzorech hamoed? V'ha komash malon. The source is trying to tell me the following: Afilu letzorech hamoed, even if it's something that is holiday necessary, migmar in aschulilo. All we allow is finishing off and not starting. But once again, the source is not precluding finishing off something that is not holiday related. But the point of the source was to emphasize you're not allowed to start something that is holiday related. Toshma, and here we have our third attempt to resolve the issue, and this will be conclusive. Rabbi Meir Omer, Kol Malocha Shihi Lutzorech Hamoed Gomra Bar Basar. Here the source spells out, if it's something needed for the holiday, then you're allowed to finish it off on the 14th. V'she'eino l'tzorach hamoed, osir. If it's not for the holiday, then it's osir. And osir what? Well, that which you were just matir. You were just matir finishing off. If it's ein l'tzorach hamoed, osir would be osir to finish off. And malacha can be done on the 14th of Nisan until midday, where that was the practice. Mokom shenoagu in, lo noagu lo. If they practiced, then okay. Otherwise, no. Ushma mino l'tzora chamoed in. And we conclude from here that finishing off is allowed only if it's l'tzora chamoed. Shelo letzorach hamoed lo, but if it's not letzorach hamoed, so it would be usur. Shma mina. This source is conclusive. There's a Rashi at the top line that says Gomra bar basar afilu b'mokom shelo nohagu la'asos molocha. You could finish off even in places that did not have the practice of doing malacha. Regarding the explanation that Rashi gives that we just read, one will find a somewhat more elaborate discussion in the Tiferes Shmuel commentary on the Rush that deals with this topic. But as far as our Gemara presentation, we have successfully shown that the Aleph approach in the three ways of understanding Rebbe Meir is the way to go. V'chachomim omrim shalosh umnios. There are three professions or artisans that are allowed to do Malacha on the 14th of Nisan until noontime. The Gemara. Tana. Hachayotin shekein hedyot tofer kedarko b'cholo shel moyed. As we mentioned earlier, that the reason for the Chachomim's leniency in these three particular crafts is because there is the Chol HaMoed precedent for being lenient, and that is that on the when it comes to Chol HaMoed, a hedyot, a commoner, as opposed to a professional tailor, a common person is allowed to sew kedarko in his normal way on Chol HaMoed. Therefore, when it comes to the 14th of Nisan, which is a more lenient time period, we will allow even the professional to sew until Chatzos. Now, there is a Rashi that's worth looking at. We're looking at the top line of the page, Hachayotin, Mishum Hochi Shoru Bar Bosor, B'chol Mokom. Why are we allowing on the 14th wherever B'chol Mokom, Yuda, Golil, all the different regions, Shekein Motsinu, Bohen, we found in Chayotin, Kula, Mishar Umnios, a leniency more so than you find in other crafts, Gabi Choloshomoi. The leniency is manifest regarding sewing on Chol HaMoed. And once again, we have to caution, as we do many times when learning Gemara markings, audio shiurim, we are not attempting to deal with what we call halacha lemaisa, practical halacha, but rather simply reflecting what the Gemara says. Between what you learn in the Gemara and actual halacha, there are other stages of learning that one must engage in. So, that having been said, let us continue. The next example of a craftsman that we are lenient with, Hasaporim Vakoivsin, the barbers and washmen, Shekein Habomi Desayam, one who, let us say, came to town from travel abroad, Vayotzin Beis Hasumer, someone who left a state of incarceration, Misaprin Umechapsin B'chol HaShemoy, they are allowed to have their hair cut and their clothing washed during Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Omer Af Haratzonim. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda adds the shoemakers, they can make new shoes on the 14th of Nisan. Shekein Oile Rigolim Misaknin Min Oleim B'Chol HaShemoed, because people who came on the thrice year pilgrimage to Jerusalem, what we call Elias HaRegel on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. Of course, Shavuos is not part of this discussion because there's no Chol HaMoed on Shavuos, but Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkot have intermediate days. We know that the shoemakers can repair shoes during Chol HaMoed. Now, the Rabbi Yossi Behuda is adding something that Tanna Kamma, the first opinion, did not mention. He mentioned only three. So there is a controversy here. B'maiko Miflugi, what is the basis of their controversy? Mor Sovar, Rabbi Yossi learns, L'meidim Tchilas Melocha Misof Melocha. We can learn the beginning, in other words, to start making shoes, to make new shoes on the 14th, from a precedent involving fixing shoes, which we Sof Melocha, the end of a Melocha, namely, we're on Chol HaMoed, no one suggests you're allowed to make new shoes, but to repair old shoes that you are allowed. So Rabbi Yossi Buda uses that information, the repair on Chol HaMoed, to conclude making new shoes on the 14th. Umor Sovar, the Tanna Kamma says, Ein lemeidim tchilas melocha misof melocha, to use as a precedent a completion activity, a repair activity, to shed light on making new shoes, that's too much of a jump, so to speak, and hence the Chacham don't see a precedent for lenience with regard to making new shoes on the 14th of Nisan. We continue with more activities that we can allow on the 14th of Nisan. Now, we've spoken about this for the last couple of dapim, so we haven't repeated again and again the point of why there is this spirit of malacha restriction to begin with, but we have learned in the past that people are supposed to be preoccupied with getting themselves ready for the Seder night, making sure their matzah is in order, and in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, their Korban Pesach was taken care of, and hence they couldn't. There was this feeling of not being, not allowing people to engage in other activities. So here we continue in that spirit. This has to do with tending to chickens, egg-producing chickens and animals, and cleaning their stalls out. On the side of the Gemara, we have our nosei, our topic heading, Moshivan Oif al Beitzim L'chamamam, placing a bird on its eggs to incubate them. The Hotzi Mehem Efrochim, incubation for the purpose of chick production, that's called Degira in Hebrew, on the 14th of Nisan and during Chol HaMoed. So our Mishnah, Moshivan Shovachin L'Tarnegolim B'Yodalim. There is a girsa that says, that splits Shovachim from the word Tarnegolim. Shovachim would be a reference to doves, and Tarnegolim is a reference to chickens. But either way, for our purposes, it has to do with placing a bird on its eggs. And that one can do on the 14th. V'Tarnegolus Shemorda, a chicken that rebelled, meaning it left its eggs, machzirin oisa lumakoma, it can be returned. V'im mesa moshivan acheres tachta, and if the original mother or the original hen died, you can place another hen on those eggs. Gorfin mitachas ragle behema biyud dalid. On the 14th of Nisan, you can clean out the animal's stall. Gorfin is to scrape out, and included in that is to, as Rashi adds, umashlifin lechutz, means to throw out the old hay, the dirty hay with its debris. On Chol HaMoed, though, v'moed misakim the Chol HaMoed, as we've already stated before, is a more severe time period, so we don't allow throwing out, but to move to the side, that will allow. Malichin kelim umvian mibeis ha'uman. One can bring vessels to an artisan, to a craftsman, and bring back from the shop on the 14th. Afapi she'enum l'tzorach hamoed, even though they are not necessary, these vessels are not necessary for the holiday. We will then look at each point mentioned in the Mishnah step by step as the Gemara unfolds. So we look at the beginning of the Mishnah. The beginning of the Mishnah said, Moshivan, you can place chickens on the eggs, and it then spoke about returning a chicken that had rebelled. There seems to be something that's anticlimactic here. Hashta osove mosvinon, you're allowed to put a chicken initially on eggs. Ahaduri mebaya, is there any necessity of telling me that you can put a chicken back on? If you're allowed to put a chicken initially on the egg, certainly a chicken that had left, you can return. Omar Abaye, Seifa, the halacha of machzirin, of returning, ason l'choloi shel moyed. That's talking about chol hamoyed, and because you're dealing with something that otherwise would be a loss, so we allow you to put the chicken back on. The Rashi, if you'll notice, we have a double star in the upper part of the narrow lines of Rashi. V'hochi ko'amar, Rashi says, Moshivin shovachin b'yudalin. An initial placing of chickens on eggs can be done on the 14th. V'tarnagol shibarcha b'cholo shomoyed, machzirin oisa mishum hefsid beitzin, the dover ovid mutter. And a chicken that ran away can be returned on Chol HaMoed, because otherwise the eggs would be a loss. As we go on in the Gemara, we encounter a new marking. The diamond appears, and under the Mivneh heading, we've written we're going to see Machlokis Rav Huna and Rav Ami b'Mosai Machzirin Ha'oif Ala Beitzin B'Chol HaMoed. When do we put the chicken back on the eggs? So we have Omar Rav Huna Loi Shonu Elo, the halacha that even B'moyed, you can machzir, or we should say that on Chol HaMoed all we allow is to put the chicken back. Lo shonu ela. There are two points that he makes, and we call them Aleph and Beis. In other words, he does not give you a blanket heter of putting back a chicken. There has to be other elements in the story for us to allow you to put back the chicken that ran away. And we'll explain later why these restrictions are in place. He says that heter of b'moyed machzirin is lo shanu ela toich shlosha lemarda. You found the rebellious chicken within 3 days of its merit. Merit is its rebellion or its escape. Within 3 days, the akati lo porach tzimra mino. The tzimra is the heat. The heat that was imposed upon the chickens during the incubation is still partially there. The eggs haven't gone completely cold. The achar shlosha liyeshivasa, and another qualification is that these eggs had been incubated for more than 3 days. So if you have both of those qualifications in place, where it's been incubated for more than 3 days, the posta lo be'i legamri, the eggs have already become inedible to, let's say, make them into eat them as eggs. After a chicken, or the hen, has been sitting on them for 3 days, they've gone bad, so to speak, and their only value would be as chick producers. Avol. However, if liachar shloisha lemerda, if you're dealing with a case where the chicken escaped, and you found it more than 3 days since its rebellion, the porach lo tzimra mina, where there's no more heat from the original incubation, v'toch shlosha lishivasa, or within 3 days of its initial incubation. Before we go further, if more than 3 days have gone by since the chicken escaped, so there's no point in having it, let's say, re-incubated, because all of the initial heat that was necessary for the chick development has dissipated. And the second point, if it's toch shloshi lishivasa, if the escape was within 3 days of the initial incubation, yeshivas is literally, it's sitting on them, dakati lo psedi bei legamri lo madrinan, where as far as the egg being totally lost, a total loss as far as the eggs are concerned, that hasn't happened yet. In other words, someone that has a good, let's say, constitution or has a high tolerance level will eat eggs that were incubated but for less than 3 days. They might smell a little bit because they have been incubated, say, for 2 days, but people who have what's called a nefesh yafa will still eat it. Therefore, we won't allow you to trouble yourself with putting the chick, the hen, back on them. You can sell them and you'll fetch a lower price, true, a lower price, but some minor loss you'll experience, but that is not enough justification for allowing you to toil and trouble yourself with them. Rabbi Ami Omar, afilu toich shlosha liyeshivasa, even within 3 days of it having started the incubation process, madrinon, you can put the hen back. But my komifligi, what's the point of difference between Rav Huna? And Rav Ami. More so far, lehefsid mu b'choshishu, lehefsid mu lo choshishu. Rav Huna figures that it only hefsid mu, if it's a large loss, a major financial loss, choshishu, then the chachomim were concerned with that and allow you to take action. Lehefsid mu, where it's going to be only a minor loss, where eggs that were incubated for less than 3 days are still edible by some people. You can sell them and get a lower price for them. So that lo choshishu, they did not allow you, they were not concerned with that enough to allow you to trouble yourself during Chol HaMoed. Omar Sava, Rabbi Ami, on the other hand, was more lenient. Lehefsid mu'at nami choshishu. Even if it's a minor loss, but in order to save you from that minor loss, we allow you to restore the hen to its incubation position, even though it rebelled within 3 days of its initial incubation. Gorfin mitachas v'chulei. Tanu Rabbanan, hazevel shebechotzer misalkin oisei litzdodin. Zevel is garbage that accumulated in the in one's courtyard, so you can push it to the side. Sheberefes v'shebechotzer motzien oisei lashpo. This source is hard to understand. So refes is an animal stall, and chotzer seems to be repeated again. He says that you're allowed to take out completely to the public garbage heap. Ha gufa kashya. This source is inherently difficult to understand. Amris zevel shebechotzer mechsalken oisei litzdodin. You say that the waste in the chotzer, all you're allowed to do is move it to the side. And then, v'hoder toni, sheberefes v'shebechotzer, again, a reference to the chotzer, it says, motzino sol ashbo, you can take it out completely. What do we make of that? So, here you'll see there are two approaches, and we feature this under the mivneh, the house marking, which features Abaye and Rava, and their response. Omar Abai, lo kashya, there is no contradiction. Kan biyudalid, kan becholo shomoye. When it comes to the 14th, so that's the latter part, which says you can remove it completely. When it comes to cholamoye, that's misaku litzdon, and that's the beginning of the source. Rova Omar ho veho becholo shomoye, both, the entire source is talking about cholamoye, the intermediate days of the holiday, and not the 14th of Nisan, vehochi komar. And thusly, we are to understand things. Im nase chotzer kerefes, if the courtyard has become like a stall, meaning there's no room left to move over to the side, then motzien oisei l'ashpo, then the debris can be completely removed. However, if there's still room in the chotzer to move the debris over to the side, and after all, we are talking about Chol HaMoed, we don't allow you to carry it out to the Ashpa. Molichin Kelim Umavien Mibeis Ha'uman. Omar Rav Papa. Notice that we have a long marking, because in this section of Gemara, Rav Papa will be presenting to us something that was that Rava presented to them, and then in other words, Rava presents had presented to Rav Papa and his colleagues a question, and then we'll see Rav Papa's answer. So all of this is being brought to us by Rav Papa. Omar Rav Papa, Bodik Lon Rava. Rava, Bodik is to check us out. He tested us. Tanan, it says in the Mishnah, Molichin Umavien Kelim Beis Uman Afal Pisha Einon Letzorach HaMoed. You can bring vessels to and bring them back from the craftsman's house, even if it's not holiday related. V'ra'aminu, and we then raise a contradiction from Maseches Moed Katan. It says, Ein Mevien Kelim Ibeis Ha'uman. One is not allowed to bring vessels back from the artisan's house. V'im choishesh lehem, if he is concerned that something's going to happen to them, shema yignavu, if you're afraid that they might be stolen, let's read that again, v'im choishesh lehem shema yignavu, if you're afraid they might be stolen, mefanon lechotzer acheres, then you can remove them from the artisan's house and put them in a neighboring courtyard, but not bring them home. Umishaninon, and now Rav Papa says, and we answered, lo kashya. There is no contradiction. Let's just go over the seeming contradiction again before we get to the answer. The first source, our Mishnah, said, mevian, you can bring. And the second source said, ein mevian, you cannot bring. Mevian means to bring back home from the artisan's house. That's our Mishnah was lenient. And the Mishnah in Moyed Katan, Ein Mevien Mibeis Ha'uman. And now Rav Papa answers, Lo Kashya, Kan Bar Bosor, Kan Becholo Shomoyed. Aleph, which corresponds to the Aleph two lines above our Mishnah, which was lenient. It says you can bring back Kalim from the Beis Ha'uman. That is referring to the 14th of Nisan. And the Moed Kona source, which is more restrictive, is Becholo Shel Moed. V'Boyesema, a second approach, Ha V'Ha Becholo Shel Moed. Both sources are talking about Chol HaMoed. V'Lo Kashya, Kan B'Ma'aminoi, Kan B'She'eno Ma'amino. Ma'amino means you have trust, you have faith. So in the Rashi, B'Ma'amino Le'umon Shelo Yimkaren, if you trust him that he won't sell off your wares, your vessels, so then if you trust him, Ein Mevi'in, that was the second source, where it said Ein Mevi'in Kein B'Sum, so you're dealing with someone that you trust, that he, the Uman, won't sell them off. And the first source that says Mevi'in is because you don't trust him. V'hotanya. Here we have a Tanaic source that supports the distinction we just made. And you can see in this source, there's a dashed underline section where it says V'im Eino Ma'amino. Hence, the source is sensitive to this distinction that we just made in our answer. Hence, this source is brought to support that. The source reads, Mevi'in Kelim Ibesa Uman. One can bring vessels from a the artisan's place. Kigon Hakad Ibesa Kadod. Vakois Mibes HaZagog. A kad is a clay pitcher from someone who makes those kinds of items. A kos is a cup, in this case a glass cup from the glassmaker. Avol lo tsemer mibes hatsabo velo kelim mibes uman. But not wool from the dyer, nor vessels from the home or the shop of the artisan. Vim ein lo ma yochal. If, let us say, the artisan doesn't have money from which to buy food, no saint lo schoru manicho etzlo, will pay him and leave the vessel by him. Vim eino ma'amino, and if you don't trust him, then manichon bebayis asamuchlo, then take the vessel and leave it in the house nearby, by a neighbor's house. Vim choshe shemo yignevu, if you're afraid they might get stolen from there, mevion betzino besof beis, and bring them home, but in a quiet, hidden fashion. And again, we're talking about, according to this approach, this is all taking place during Chol HaMoed. Tiratzto mevion. What we've done in this section of Gemara, we remember we raised a contradiction where the double underlined sources were introduced, our Mishnah versus Moed Katan. We resolved them with regard to Mevi'in. And we said that our Mishnah that says Mevi'in came by someone is talking about a case where Eino Ma'amino. And the Moed Katan source, which says Ein Mevi'in, because you trust him. Molichin Kashio. However, the issue of bringing vessels to the artisan, that we haven't resolved. Dikotoni, we saw it said in the second case, Ein Mevi'in, and from that you understand the Kol Shekein, the Ein Molichin. In the source that says you don't bring them back home, that we explained that's a case where you trusted him. And if you say you don't bring home, well, Kol Shekein De'ein Molichin, you're certainly not going to bring them there initially. So the source that says you don't bring back from the artisan, you certainly aren't going to bring to him initially. And yet our Mishnah said Molichin. And our Mishnah, how did we explain our Mishnah? That was a case where you did not trust him. That's where you were allowed to bring back home. Now, if you don't trust him, what in the world would you be bringing vessels to him in the first place? So, that source is, first of all, we have a contradiction, and the explanation of Ein Ma'amino wouldn't make any sense for the Molichin aspect of that source. So, From the Mevi'in or Ein Mevi'in standpoint, we have a contradiction and we don't have an explanation. Ela machvarto kideshoninon meikora. Therefore, it's better to adopt the number one answer. We have a little arrow to the right hand side of the Gemara text, where the distinction between the two sources was 14th of Nisan versus Chol HaMoed. Namely, in the 14th of Nisan, so there we allow more leniency, Molichon HaMevi'in, and source Beis that says Ein Mevi'in, and certainly Lo Molichon, that would be Chol HaMoed. The Mishnah. Shisha Dvarim Osu Anshei Yericho. There were six practices that were practiced by the Jews of Yericho. Al Shlosha Michu Biodam, Al Shlosha Lo Michu Biodam. Regarding three of them, the rabbis protested, and regarding three others, Lo Michu, they didn't protest. The Elohim Shalo Michu Biodam. And we now enumerate the second category, namely those that they did not protest. Markivin de Kolim Kol Hayoim. Markivin often is translated as grafting, but we'll call it, it's a tree treatment. They would perform this tree operation all day of the 14th of Nisan. De Kolim are palm trees. Yericho actually was a region that was and is associated to this very day as an area where dates are produced. The Korchen es Shema, this will be explained in the Gemara. The Goichin Lifnei Ha'oimer. Goichin is after one harvests grains, he would then pile them up. So this day they piled up the grains before the Omer. We discussed this earlier in today's shiur, that the Omer offering was to allow the new grains, to allow the use, the eating of the new grains. There's more on the topic of what the Omer is matir, but for our purposes, we won't get into details just yet. The Elu Shemichu Biodom, the following are three more practices that did arouse the opposition of the sages. Number one, Matirin Gamzios Shel Hekdish. The word Gamzios, you can see when you look in Rashi, Gidulim. Hekdish is a reference to trees that were sanctified, and the people of Yericho reasoned that the basic tree was sanctified, but subsequent growth that grew after the sanctification, that's referred to here as the Gamzios, they were matir. They allowed that for personal use. They did not view the additional growth after the point of sanctification as being sanctified. In other words, the whatever was there at the point of sanctification of the tree becomes sanctified, but that which grows later, not so. Rashi, three lines from the bottom, shares more background to this. Matirin Gamzios, we say Gidulin, Hanofim, Shegodlu, Becharuvin, Veshikmin. These are branches that grew on these kind of trees, a Choruv tree and a Shikma tree. Shikdishu Avusein, that their forebears had sanctified. Heinoyu Matirin Onus Min HaGidulin. They allowed benefiting from the subsequent growth. Rashi then goes on with greater detail about these kind of trees, but for our purposes, the concept has been clarified. We continue at the top of Nun Vav Amud Aleph. V'oichlin mitachas hanishorim b'shabos. And they would eat underneath a tree whose shed its fruits. They would eat from the fruit that dropped, that fell to the ground. And the problem there, one can imagine, would be a muktzah problem. The Gemara will deal with this, will explain this in detail. But fruit that was attached to the tree upon the onset of Shabbos, one would assume that that's muktzah, forbidden for the rest of Shabbos, even if it falls off on its own on Shabbos. Nevertheless, they were lenient with regard to that. And number three, v'noisin peol liyerek u'michu biyodam chachomim. They tithed the peol tithe, which in effect is leaving a corner of the field unharvested when it came to a vegetable garden. They would leave a corner as peol for the poor to take. And that is problematic because vegetables are exempt from peol. and by having people take the vegetables as if they were payah, they will then not tithe the necessary tithes. Tithes are obligatory from certain types of vegetation, assuming they have certain qualifications. And by having left payah, and as we said, payah is exempt from those tithes, but leaving payah from something that should not be payah, you're thereby exempting them, or people will treat them as if they're exempt from tithing when that isn't the case. Umichu biyodom chachomim, and the chachomim protested this. The continuation of the Gemara presents a Tanaic source that some girsos, those who open up Mishnayos, will find this section that you see in a frame as if it were a continuation of the Mishnah itself. But in the Gemara, it's presented as an outside Bryce, as another type of Tanaic source. But being that some versions, in other words, in the Mishnayos versions, as opposed to what we're learning from a Gemara, but in traditional Mishnayos, the next is considered an extension of the Mishnah. So we will continue. Tonu Rabbonon, Shisha Dvorim also Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Chizkiyahu HaMelech was a king who lived in the latter part of the first temple period, the first Beis HaMikdash. His father's name was Ochaz, and Ochaz was a Rosha. He was a man who did not follow a halachic way of life in a knowing fashion. Hence, we classify him as an evil man. Chizkiyahu, on the other hand, was a pious king. And the source tells us that he, Chizkiyahu, did six things. Al shlosha hoidulo, regarding three of these six, the Chachamim conceded to him. Al shlosha lo hoidulo, but on three others, they did not concede. Number one, Gir Atzmos Aviv Almito Shechavolim. He dragged the remains of his father on a rope bed in order to disparage his Rosha father, and in fact, his intent was that through this disparagement, it would serve as a form of atonement for his father. And that has ramifications, of course, to matters related to the Olam Haba, to the world to come, the world of Neshomas. So he was attempting to benefit his father through this disparagement. The Hodulo, and the rabbis conceded that this was a positive thing. Hitas Nechash HaNechoshes, the Hodulo. Moshe Rabbeinu, as is described in the Torah, had made a form, an image of a serpent, and it was designed at the time, all of course by the command of the Almighty, that upon looking at that image they would be healed or relieved from the plague they were suffering from. However, in the course of time, the people, as years went by, people began to view that serpent as something of an idolatrous nature. So Chizkiyahu took the initiative and smashed it. The Hodul on that too was accepted. And number three, Gona Sefer Refuos, there was a book of remedies, of therapies and remedies that provided instant relief for people who were suffering from all kinds of ailments. As a result of the public awareness of this Sefer Refuos, people who were suffering tended to rely on this manual and did not seek assistance or seek relief through prayer. And the connection between the masses and the Almighty through prayer, which is often the case when people are sick, so they were lax in that area. So he saw that loosening of connection between the public and the Almighty, and he associated with the fact that they had this manual that had guaranteed remedies in it, so he put it out of circulation. The Hodulo, and the sages acknowledged that as a positive act as well. The Al-Shlosha Lo Hodulo, there were three more things that Chizkiyahu did that were not accepted by the sages. Kitzei Stalsa Shalecho V'Shigron LeMelech Ashur. Chizkiyahu was a king, of course, as we said at the time, and naturally had to be involved with diplomacy. he thought it a good idea to endear himself to the king of Ashur, to remove the doors of the Beis HaMikdash and send it as a gift to the king of Ashur. V'lo hodulo, the Chachamim said that was a mistake. Sosa me Gichon Elyon, there was a time during which he was Chizkiah was under siege, and he tried to cut off the enemy's water supply, and he did so by sealing up the Me Gichon. This was a spring that provided water in the area of Jerusalem, and that was by his military a tactic of sealing off that source of water to dry out the enemy, so to speak, was not acceptable. Lo hodulo, and Rashi says that he should have had faith in the Almighty, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu had said, "I will protect this city." And so taking extra measures was going beyond the call of duty, so to speak, in a negative sense. And there's a lot of there's a great deal of lesson to be learned from this, showing that even though on the one hand we believe that Ein Somcha al Neis, a person should not conduct himself in such a way that he relies on miracles, on the other hand, too much investment in efforts to the extent that you don't leave any room for the Almighty to manifest his presence, that could be questionable, but that also is highly dependent on whom you are talking about, who is the subject of the issue. The area of hishtablus versus bitachon is a very delicate issue in the philosophy of Judaism, in how to live your life, on the one hand being connected with the Almighty and relying upon Him, on the other hand not leading a life where you are dependent on miracles. A very broad topic and something that is almost impossible to dictate by rule of thumb. But in the case of Chizkiah HaMelech, who was a very pious individual and had received prophecies concerning the Almighty's protection of Jerusalem, so this was considered going overboard. And number three, Iber Nisan B'Nisan V'lo Hodulo. After the month of Nisan had set in, and here we're going to give a literal translation, even though elsewhere the Gemara changes this pshat, but for our purposes, the simple understanding of the translation is, after the month of Nisan had set in, he declared a second Adar. That's called a leap year. He extended another month, making Nisan fall out, in fact, 1 month later. That's called Iber Nisan B'Nisan. After Nisan had already said in Iber, he extended the year after, as we extended the year, too late. In other words, he should have made his decision to extend the year in the month of Adar, but he waited until Nisan set in, and that is a mistake. V'lo hodulon, the Chachamim disagreed with his practice. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.